Book of Genesis at chapter 2. Very first book of the Bible, just a couple pages over. The book of Genesis at chapter 2 is where we'll be beginning our studies this evening. Book of Genesis at chapter 2. As you're turning there, ponder something with me and picture something in your mind. Picture Christ on the day of His judgment, so to speak, standing before the governor's seat, Pontius Pilate's seat. And imagine the crowd being stirred up by the chief priest and the elders. We're told of that in Matthew chapter 26 on to 27 as they recount His crucifixion. The crowd was stirred up. Pontius Pilate didn't want to give Christ over to be scourged, to be mocked, and to be crucified, but being swayed by the crowd, he washed his hands and gave Him over to the crowd for them to do what they wanted to with Him, which was crucified. And we all know the story that He went through a severe beating, a scourging, 40 stripes minus one, scourged almost to death, was beaten, mocked, had a crown of thorns beaten into His head, and He ultimately was crucified and died for us and for our sins, for me and for you, as Michael pointed out at the Lord's Supper this morning. It's a personal thing between us and God and us and Christ. Christ did die specifically for me and for you. Two things happened that I want to talk about this evening. Happened when Christ died upon that cross. Two things happened. The first one, the New Testament law went into effect. Up until then, people had to do like they did in the book of Leviticus and offer sacrifices, go through different ceremonies that these priests had to perform to be able to be forgiven of sins, but they weren't really forgiven. These sins were merely pushed off for another year, and in another year you had to come back and do the same thing over again. You were never really forgiven. This New Testament law comes into effect the moment Christ died. Acts chapter 17 at verse 30, Paul mentions these times of ignorance God overlooked but now commands all men everywhere to repent. He is talking about when that New Testament came into effect, that Old Testament law was done away with, those times of ignorance was done away with, that New Testament law comes into effect in which all men everywhere are required to repent and obey the gospel plan of salvation. The second thing that it did by Christ dying upon that cross, following along with that New Testament coming into effect, it gave us an opportunity, friends. It gave us an opportunity to become free. Become free. And I want to talk about three different things that this Christ dying upon this cross, it gave us the freedom from three different things I want to talk about specifically this evening. Three things that Christ's death upon the cross set us free from, so to speak. The first thing that Christ's death set us free from was sin. If you'll remember back in the very beginning of time, Adam and Eve, notice what it says here, book of Genesis chapter 2, starting at verse 15, then the Lord took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat of it you shall surely die. And we know where God said it's not good for man to be alone. He creates woman, which is Eve, to be with him. And so you have Adam and Eve living in this garden. Friends, they can do anything they want to do but one thing. And that one thing is they cannot eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We remember in Genesis chapter 3 at verse 1, the serpent who was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, he says to the woman, has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He knows the answer. The woman said to the serpent, we can eat of all the trees of the fruit of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it lest you die. And the serpent lies to her, said you shall not surely die, for God knows then in the day you eat of it, your eyes are going to be open. You'll be like him, knowing good and evil. Now notice here in verse 6, when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. I mentioned this morning about how infuriating it is for Claire not to listen to what I say. How infuriating for me to tell her not to do something. The first thing she does is go and do it. We know from the beginning of time here in the Bible, that's human nature. For us to be given a command, the first thing we want to do is go out and do it, right? Sin entered the world at this point in time, and this sin still continues today. But by Christ dying upon that cross, that gave us the opportunity to be free from that sin. Not like under the Old Testament law where they were merely pushed off for a year and then you had to redo the same ceremony the next year. Not like that, but rather free from sin, as in God said He'll cast it as far as the east is from the west. And as many of us know, that's a long ways. Turn to Romans at chapter 8, our main text this evening, the book of Romans at chapter 8. We not only push these sins off for a year, another year as in the Old Testament law, but these sins are completely forgiven. We're completely free from them. Book of Romans chapter 8, notice what it says starting at verse 1. Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 1, Paul writing to the Romans, he says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." In verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." And we will talk about death in just a few minutes. But notice it says here, this law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, or through Christ Jesus, through that new law that He put into effect by dying upon the cross, that's what has made us free from the law of sin. Turn to John chapter 3. Well-known set of verses, but notice them with me here. Don't take any quote that you've heard. Don't take any quote from me, but notice it for yourself what it says. John chapter 3 at verse 16, well-known verse. Christ says here, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." In verse 17, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." When He died upon that cross, when He finally gave up that ghost and He died upon that cross, that new law came into effect. And this right here, what He's talking about, God did not send His Son, did not send Christ Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but rather the world through Him might be saved by Him dying upon that cross for us, for our sins. Turn to Romans chapter 6. Book of Romans at chapter 6. Back to the book of Romans chapter 6. Notice what it says here at verse 17. Book of Romans chapter 6 at verse 17 this time. Paul, once again, he's writing here to the Romans. He says, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin," and that's what we were before we became Christians, those of us who are, before we became Christians, we were slaves of sin. We've been, as humans, as a human race, slaves of sin since Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. "But God be thanked that though we were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, we gained that freedom from sin by obeying that form of doctrine to which we were delivered. We became slaves of righteousness." Now notice there's two, that slaves are mentioned both right there, but one is a negative slavery and one is a positive, right? We see that we were slaves of sin, which we know is a negative thing, but we became free from that sin and we became slaves of righteousness to Christ Jesus and to God. Turn back to John chapter 8. Back to the book of John chapter 8. I guess I went a little bit out of order on where to turn. We should have hit all the ones in Romans and then went to the one in John. We're getting y'all some practice on turning. Book of John chapter 8 at verse 31. Notice what Christ says here. John chapter 8 at verse 31. "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, 'If you abide in My word,'" notice it here, "'you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth.'" Pause there for just a minute. What truth is He talking about right there? Christ is talking about that truth that is in His Word according to John chapter 8 at verse 31. "If you abide in My Word, you're My disciples, and you shall know the truth." And notice what this knowledge will do. This knowledge, this truth shall make you free. That knowledge of that truth that's in the Word of God that we become disciples by, this truth is going to make us free. Free from what? Free from sin. The second thing that I propose to you this evening, that we have freedom of because of Christ's death upon that cross, we have a freedom from death itself. Now, I'm not saying that if you become a Christian, you're going to live forever. Death is an appointment that we all have to keep. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 tells us that it's appointed for man once to die. We're going to meet that appointment one day, but after that, the judgment. We as Christians, though, we know what death we're talking about right here, right? There is going to be another death, a second death, so to speak. Turn to Revelation chapter 21. Book of Revelation chapter 21. Book of Revelation chapter 21. I'm not saying by Christ dying upon that cross that gave us eternal physical life, but it does give us freedom from death. That is that second death mentioned in Revelation chapter 21, starting at verse 7. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, sorcerers, or murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Notice it here, which is the second death. This is the death that I'm talking about us escaping from right here. Not a physical death. There's nothing we can do about that unless Christ decides to come back before we die. Death is something we're going to experience, a physical death. Christ dying upon that cross, though, friends, gives us the opportunity to gain freedom from this second death mentioned in Revelation chapter 21 at verse 8. Turn back to Romans chapter 6 with me real quick. Back to the book of Romans at chapter 6, and notice another verse here with me. Back to the book of Romans chapter 6. We noticed in verses 17 and 18 how we gained that freedom from sin. But notice here what else we gain. Romans chapter 6 at verse 23. The Bible tells us, Paul tells us here, that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in or through Christ Jesus our Lord. We gain that freedom from sin and in essence from death, that second death, so to speak, there. Romans chapter 8 at verse 2, the latter part, in Christ Jesus has made us free, made me free from the law of sin and death. Turn to Romans chapter 5, maybe back a page, maybe two, you might not even have to flip. Romans chapter 5 at verse 12 here. Paul once again writing to the Romans, he says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through that sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. Pause there for just a minute. We read how in Genesis chapter 2, it was designed, God's design was for man to live forever in that Garden of Eden, in that place of paradise, so to speak there, in that Garden of Eden. That was God's plan. That was His hope. He laid out the groundwork that if only we had followed after His rules, after His commandments there about don't take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If we had followed after that, we would not have sin in the world and we would be able to live forever. But just as it says here in Romans chapter 5 at verse 12, through one man's sin, the sin of Adam and Eve, death entered the world and death through sin, and thus death, it spread to all men because all have sinned, as we've noticed before. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But skip down to verse 18 and notice what it says here. We see that death has spread to all men because we have all sinned. But in verse 18 of Romans chapter 5, therefore, as through one's man offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. We see here because of Adam and Eve's sin, we all bear the judgment of that. Sin's has spread to the rest of us, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, talking about Christ dying upon that cross, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life, that freedom from that second death, so to speak there. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's, referring to Christ again here, obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When Christ died upon that cross, He gave us freedom not only from sin, but in turn, because we get that freedom from sin, we get freedom from death. Talking about that second death, Revelation chapter 21 at verse 8, what it talks about. The third thing this season that we have freedom from. We have freedom from destruction, eternal destruction. Look at a couple of verses with me real quick that testify to there is a destruction coming. Philippians chapter 3. Turn to the book of Philippians at chapter 3 with me real quick. There is a destruction coming. There is a destruction coming. It goes hand in hand with that sin and death that we've been talking about. There is a destruction coming. Philippians chapter 3 at verse 17. But because of Christ dying upon that cross, we have freedom from that destruction that otherwise we would have no option but to endure. Philippians chapter 3 verse 17. Paul writing to the Philippians this time. He says, "Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk. As you have for us a pattern, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now I even tell you weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things." There is a destruction coming. The people it's coming to are the enemies of that cross of Christ, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, and who set their mind on earthly things. Turn to 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1. Book of 2 Thessalonians at chapter 1. And notice what the Bible tells us here, the warning giving us of what's to come. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 at verse 7. Paul once again writing here, he says in verse 7, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 at verse 7, "And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." These talking about those that don't know God and those who don't obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. "These shall be punished with everlasting," notice the word, "destruction, from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Those who do not know God and those who do not obey that gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ that was put into effect when Christ died upon that cross, those who do not obey that gospel are going to be punished with everlasting destruction. But God be thanked, because Christ did die upon that cross for me and for you in a personal aspect there, we have that freedom from sin, we have the freedom from death, and we have the freedom from destruction. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Book of Hebrews at chapter 10. Book of Hebrews chapter 10. Notice what it says starting at verse 35. Book of Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 35, the Hebrew writer tells us here, Hebrews chapter 10 at verse 35, "Therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. If anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." Pay special attention to verse 39. "But we who are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." That's when Christ died upon the cross, he put that New Testament into effect. He put that gospel into effect. It's up to us to choose this saving of the soul, to believe in Christ and act upon that belief. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Back to the book of Romans at chapter 1. Notice what it says starting at verse 16. Book of Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 16. Paul says here in this verse, Romans chapter 1 at verse 16, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," that gospel that was put into effect by his death upon the cross, "for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." We all, mankind as a whole and mankind in general, had the opportunity here to obey this gospel of Christ. It's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Not a certain group of people, not a certain set of people, but for everyone who believes and is willing, as we talked about this morning, to act upon that belief. Christ dying upon the cross, he set us free from three things, friend. He set us free from sin, from death and from eternal destruction. My question to you this evening, are you, am I free from these things? Am I free from sin? Am I free from death? And am I free from destruction? This freedom is found only in Christ Jesus and His death for us. Think about something with me real quick, friends. Someone does you a favor. Someone comes over to your house and they mow your yard. Michael comes over to my house and mows my yard. What do I feel like I owe Michael? I owe his yard a cutting, right? Christ died for me and for you, gave His life for me and for you, and endured so much more before that death, that mocking, that scourging, that being beaten and being crucified. He did that for me and for you. Turn to one last place, but with me real quick, Book of Hebrews chapter 10. Book of Hebrews chapter 10. Because Christ gave His life for us, we as human nature should feel like we owe Christ something, right? We should feel like we owe Him our lives back. Maybe not in a physical sense, merely giving our lives for Him in a physical sense, although if that's what was required, that would be what we need to do. But rather, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 this morning talked about making our bodies a living sacrifice. That's what it's talking about. That's what I'm talking about right there. Christ gave His life for us, the least we could possibly do, our reasonable service, as Paul says there, Romans chapter 12 at verse 1, is to make our bodies a living sacrifice, give it back over to God and to Christ. Hebrews chapter 10 at verse 28, we'll read this and the lesson will be yours. Hebrews chapter 10 at verse 28, anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy. On the testimony of two or three witnesses, of how much worse punishment do you suppose, notice it here, will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted that blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. Friends, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Of how much worse punishment, the Hebrew writer tells us here, will he be thought worthy, the man that counts the blood of Jesus Christ, God's only Son, a common thing. Now someone might say, now there's no way I would ever do that. There's no way I would ever down Christ and His death for me. Friends, what happens when we sin willfully? Hebrews chapter 10 verse 26, if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains that sacrifice for sins. If we sin willfully, if we go out into the world, maybe we're the 100% Christian on Sunday morning, Sunday nights, and Wednesday nights, but throughout the rest of the week we're a completely different person. Friends, what we're essentially doing is saying that Jesus Christ dying for me up on that cross doesn't mean anything. Someone might say, well, there's no way I would down that. Friends, we are downing it every time we allow sin to live in our lives. This evening, are you free from sin, death, and destruction this evening? If not, we've laid it out this evening of how we can be free. We can be free through that gospel that Christ put into effect on the day He died on the cross for us and for our sins. We must hear the Word, believe what we hear. Repent of our sins, make that sweet confession. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be baptized for the forgiveness, for the remission of our sins, and be raised to walk in the newness of life. But it doesn't end there. Maybe we've done up to that point. Maybe you've already been baptized this evening. You no longer need that baptism, but maybe you're lacking on that sixth step about remaining faithful until death. Revelation chapter 2 at verse 10. Is required of us to continue to strive to please God, as we talked about this morning. Friends, if you're not living the Christian life in your everyday lives, why not make that right tonight? Why not come forward, ask for the prayers of the church, pray with you and for you, that you can start this new week that we're about to enter into on the right foot, so to speak, living for God and for Christ. If we can help you in any way, please come while we stand and while we sing.